You may be seated this morning. A number of things happening in the Sunday School Hour. One is I've asked Gina Fry to give you about a 15 to 20 minute update from Zambia. So we'll start with Gina this morning. And of course, she's going back. I believe she flies out Thursday. So it's kind of a couple day travel thing for her. But she's been home for about a month, and we thank the Lord that she's able to get home, share some things with you from Zambia. And then following that, I have Brother Jake scheduled to give you a 10-minute challenge this morning. And I also have Brother Sean scheduled to give you a 10-minute challenge this morning. So you get to hear from some of our preacher boys as they're home on break. And so we're going to squeeze all that into the Sunday School Hour. So if any of them go over, the other ones are kind of, you know. So Gina, we'll start with you today.
I had to look at Dr. Starr because I'm sure he's like looking at his watch right now for when I start. Good morning. Happy New Year, everybody. I'm very happy to be here. It was kind of a last-minute decision, a quick decision for me to be able to come be able to visit my family for Christmas and just have a little bit of a break away from the Zambian culture and away from responsibility so that I could rest. As I was reading my Bible this week, let's see, I'm going to read all of them, but I don't want to read all of them. I'm going to read for you Psalm chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. It says, "But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed. And be still, Selah." I was thinking about last year as we approached Christmas when I got off the plane from Zambia. I was thinking about last year and how sick I had been with malaria last year. And a lot of you have asked me, and some of you might have wanted to ask more questions, but I haven't had a chance to see you yet. One of the main reasons that I came home this time was to rest because of malaria. My doctor said that I needed to get proper rest without responsibility because I still have a couple of problems from my malaria. Normal malaria, I actually was shocked. I thought I had COVID. I didn't know I had malaria. And then when they told me it was malaria, I said, no problem. You know, in 3 days I'll be fine. That's what happens with the Zambians. They get a 3-day pill and they're okay. But I ended up getting something that was a lot more severe. And because I am older to have it, they usually get it when they're little children, so they become used, their body becomes used to it. So because of the severity of it and because it was with some other disease and the bad medication that I have to take with it, I had to take so much different, very strong medications, my liver is enlarged. And the liver heals itself. The Lord has made our liver to heal itself. So it is getting better, but I can tell if I've eaten something I shouldn't eat or I've done too much and haven't rested, etc. I know some of you know this, some of you don't. I lost about 75% of my hair. So some of you think, oh, look, she's come with a new haircut, a new woman. No, it's because of my hair. I had to cut my hair because it was, most of it had fallen out. The other problem that I have that you can pray for is my mind in thinking as far as being sharp and focused. So I'll forget things very easily, won't remember different things, or even if I have a lot on my mind, will forget, like, what am I doing here and what is happening? So you can really pray for me in that way. And I'll give you a couple of other prayer requests at the end. But I wanted to specifically share with you two things. The ministry in Zambia has continued to go on without a pastor for over 2.5 years. And it's just been wonderful. The Lord has sustained the ministry. People have continued to grow. People have been saved. People who have left the church have come back and been restored to the church. The school ministry is thriving. If you could think to pray this week, Monday through Friday, we will have a young lady that I've been training and a young man that I've been training are going to the Capitol to get their certification in ACE curriculum. Bethlehem knows what that is like. But you can pray for them. We're hoping that the Lord will really use them, continue to use them even in a greater aspect in this next year. So that has been going well. And the children from school, over the last year, a couple of them have been saved. And it's just neat to see their faith in the Lord and their trust in the Lord as little people. Many of those children go home and their parents are still working. So they're responsible either for their younger siblings or to do different jobs, and then they eat and go to sleep without any supervision. And to see them trusting in the Lord for different things in their lives, and when they're in trouble, you can see the conviction of the Holy Spirit, like, oh no, I've let the Lord down. I'm not a good testimony for God. You know, I need to ask the Lord to help me with this. So that has been a huge blessing. But the two things that I want to share with you, and I know that you've probably read it from the prayer letter, was about my gardener, Paul. For 8 years, he has been with me. I am gone all day long. And at first, when I moved to Zambia, we had to make all of the dog food, all of the cat food. And, of course, your grass has to be watered because there's no rain most of the year. And different things. Well, we have been witnessing to this man for 8 years. And in August, Paul came to know Jesus Christ as his Savior. And one of the young men from our church, Luxon, who is a very faithful man, him and Brother Cromwell went out to see Paul again after many visits. And they shared the gospel with him. And they said, Paul, are you going to go to heaven when you die? And Paul said, no, I'm not. And Luxon said, well, why? Why aren't you going to heaven? And he said, because I haven't yet trusted in Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Until that time, he didn't understand that. So it took him all of those years to talk to him about Christ. And Luxon said, well, what is keeping you from being saved today? He said, nothing. I want to receive Christ as my Savior. And so he has been discipled, and in 2 weeks he will be baptized. Pastor Goss has been also working with him. So that has been a huge blessing. And not only that, but he has been faithful to church. I was just telling my parents, we had one rain so far that was a big rain. And it first came with a wind which knocked about 6 roofs off of houses in his area, and one was his. And then the rain filled up their houses. He was up to his knees in mud. And so he had been sick. He had fallen over. He had blacked out. He had been sick that week, too. We were not sure what was wrong with him. But he had to then work on his roof. He stopped all of his work to come to church. Now, remember, if you don't have a roof on your house, you have no place for your family. But he thought it was more important to stop his work and go to church. And not only that, but he has been coming with 2 other young men from his village. One is in a wheelchair. And one is named John, and the other one is named Robert. And a couple of weeks ago, Robert didn't come to church. And I said, Paul, where's Robert today? No, he couldn't come. His wheelchair, the wheel is broken. He couldn't come. So we didn't think anything of it. We were busy picking up people, going to church. On the way back, he said, Madame, can I please get some money to, I'd like to fix this wheelchair. He wanted to use his own money to fix the wheelchair for this boy. He said, Robert, he was crying, Madame. He was crying, please don't leave me. Please don't leave me home. I want to go to church. Please, I want to go to church. But there was no way to bring that little boy to church. And I just thought, all the excuses that we make for not going to church, and there's this little boy who looks forward all week long to come. And he can't go into the Sunday school classes. He sits in the main preaching service, and he is faithful. So that is a huge answer to prayer. And then the other one is a young girl named Mercy. You've heard me mention her before, Bethany. I know that you know her. While I was gone last year, Mercy had gotten pregnant to a young man. And the men from church said, this is not right. You know it's not right. You've grown up in this church. You're a saved person. You know this is not right. And the Zambian people, when they get in trouble, they hide. So the first thing they do is stop coming to church. And they just keep to themselves and usually end up, their lives just become so messed up because they don't want anybody to know, and they just want to hide. And we just started talking to her, and the men said, you need to marry this man. If he's willing to marry, you need to marry him. And they obeyed the Lord, and they got married. This man is not a saved man, so you can pray for him. His name is Aubrey. But mercy started to come. I said, you can't hide. You're going to come, and you're going to have Bible study with me. So we would meet every week, and we would have Bible study. And at first, she wouldn't pray. I can't pray, because they become so guilty, and they forget about how the Lord can forgive you and make your life new. And after a few weeks, she finally said, the Lord has used the Bible to draw me back to himself. He has shown me that I am loved, and that I am cared for, and that I am valued, and that my sins are forgiven and buried in the deepest sea. And so she is now, she continues to come and have Bible studies with me every single week. And she has her little baby is the most adorable child. I'm like her auntie. But she comes every week, and she does Bible studies with me, and she's growing in the Lord. And she comes every week to witnessing. She comes to every service. She comes to help for everything. And she is even attending the Bible Institute classes to learn more about the Bible. So that is a wonderful to see, that someone, even though they have sin in their life, is willing to go to God with it and confess their sin and to make it right and to follow the leadership of the church in that direction. So you can pray for me in a couple of ways. The Cromwells are going to be leaving Zambia, and they're going to be coming back to search for another ministry to help. And so I won't have another teacher at the school, so my job has now doubled in capacity. So you can pray for me for energy and for wisdom when I go home. Probably this coming weekend, the pastor and I will be making some decisions in regards to the school and the schedule and, excuse me, all of those things. So you can pray for me. And also, Judy is like my closest friend, so I'm going to be missing having a very close friend. So you can pray for me also in that way. I would just want to thank you for all of your encouragement. And isn't it wonderful to see the Lord's timing? We didn't know that my mom was going to have her doctor's appointment and everything. I didn't know what I was coming back to. And for me to be able to be here with them during this time, that's a precious gift from the Lord, I think. So you know, there's so many scriptures about the Lord going before us, and I'm just so, so thankful for that. Thank you.
We had a great opportunity to spend some time with Gina about a week ago, me and my wife, and just hear much, much more than what you got to hear. But God's work in Zambia, in her body, in timing of getting her home, in people getting saved. And it's just good for you to hear, just to keep you motivated to pray for Gina and going back. And so she goes back. I think she has a few days once she gets back, and then she starts into their first semester of school, so to speak. They go 3 months of school on, 1 month off, so 9 months out of the year, a little different than we do it here. But you'd be praying over those prayer requests. And in fact, before we go any further, Jerry, why don't you just stand and remember Gina, would you, and her needs that she's mentioned? We had the privilege to meet with the young men that are going into the ministry about a week and a half ago or so, and good time with them and learning, gathering what they're learning from their different, where they're at and in their schooling and training, and then also talking a little bit about their futures. And we appreciate what God's doing in their lives. Of course, you heard from Brother Eric, I think 10 days ago, Brother Eric preached. And then Todd Keith preached on, let's see, Wednesday night, right? And then this morning, Jake is in his sophomore year at Providence Baptist College, and he's working towards, is it a major in missions? Major in missions, and so Jake's going to speak here. And then Sean is in his freshman year at Fairhaven and in pastoral and I think music both. And so wanted them both to be able to speak. And then my son will speak tonight in the evening service. And so you get to hear from all of them. And then the other college girls that didn't give testimonies last week are giving testimonies tonight. So it's kind of a good time of the year just to hear from everybody, right? And I think that it's very, very healthy for the church to be able to have that. And so I've asked Jake and Sean to give a 10-minute testimony challenge, whatever the Lord's laid on their hearts, to share with you this morning. Jake, we'll start with you.
Well, good morning. Thank you, Pastor, for giving me a chance just to give a short challenge. For those of you who don't know me, my name's Jake McCleary. Grew up here, and a couple years ago at camp, the camp that this church puts on, I was sitting in a service, and God laid on my heart. He said, I want you to go to college, and he started working on my heart, and all week, every message during that camp week, every message, God pointed something different out to me, and through that week, he called me to go to college, and through that, I knew that God called me and that he wants me to be a pastor someday. So with that in mind, I started looking around at different colleges, talked to pastor about some different options, and ended up going and visiting Providence Baptist College, and that's where I'm at right now. I'm going, as pastor said, I'm a sophomore there, going in my second semester. I'm studying missions, and I have 2 years yet to finish after this, 4-year degree, and then after that, it'll be whatever the Lord has for me. Pretty excited to see about that, but just different things at college. Give a little bit of an update. Every week, I get to hear from, it's 4 different pastors that aren't at the college. They all are pastors of surrounding areas around the church, in different churches around the college. The one lives about 45 minutes away, 2 of them live about an hour away, and 1 of them actually lives 3 hours away, and he comes in once a week. And just some of the blessings of that is I get to hear from 5 or 6 pastors every week, different messages, and it's not the same person delivering a message every time. It's 5 different people, and there's been multiple messages in a week where it was like on the same passage, but it was 3 different views of the same thing, and just the different truths that you can gain from having different pastors. And one of the pastors that comes in, he drives about 3 hours. His name is Brother Ballard, and he preached a message the week before we came home, and it was called "Don't Fall Out by the Way." And I got some interesting thoughts from that, and studied out a little bit, and just wanted to share those with you. If you take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter number 45. Genesis chapter number 45, we'll look at verse number 24, I'm going to steal his title that said, "Don't fall out by the way," and if you look in Genesis chapter number 45, verse number 24, it's talking about Joseph here, and it says, "And he sent his brethren away, and they departed, and he said unto them, See that ye fall not out by the way. And they went up out of Egypt, and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. And Israel said, It is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. So in this passage of scripture, leading up to those verses we read, is when Joseph revealed himself to his brethren. They had sold him into slavery many years before, and they didn't know what happened to him. His father thought he was dead. They didn't know. They probably thought he was dead, at least thought they would never see him again, let alone have to be subject to him. But when the famine hit the land, he went down into Egypt, Joseph's brethren did, and they went and got food from Joseph. And then right where we read in the scriptures, right after Joseph revealed himself to them. And that's when we picked up in verse 24 when it says, See that ye fall not out by the way. And what that was referring to was when Joseph's brethren were traveling back to his family. Joseph told his brethren to go back to his father and tell him that he was alive. And Joseph wanted his brethren to do that right away. He didn't want them to get sidetracked. He didn't want them to stop and do something else. He wanted them to go there and come back. And with that in mind, this is what my challenge this morning is. Don't fall out by the way. Just as Joseph wanted his brethren to go and fulfill their task and come back, that's what God wants us to do. God has given us something specific that he wants us to accomplish for him, whether it's just something that pastor asks us to do, or whether it's something that God lays on your part to do where you're the main person. Don't fall out by the way. The devil will plant doubt when you are in a transition. I know right after I graduated high school, I knew I was supposed to go to college. I knew I was supposed to go study to be a pastor, but I didn't know where. I didn't know where to go, what to study. I just didn't know what to do. And I was in a transition from going from high school to college, and there was doubt there. And that doubt was, what am I supposed to do? How is this going to work out? I don't know anyone at this college. How am I going to make any friends? How am I going to learn anything? There's no way this is going to work. But through trusting God, I was able to see that if you trust God, that doubt in the transition, it'll go away. And God will work through you. Just stay focused on your goal. Point number one would be stay focused on your assignment. Joseph's brethren, they had to stay focused on their assignment to go back to their father. The same way we have to stay focused. Don't let your circumstances distract you. In college, there's a lot of different things that can distract you. With classes, I have classes from 8 to 12:30 every morning. And then after that, a lot of us will work a second shift job. With that being said, working a second shift job, sometimes you don't get back till 11 o'clock at night. And starting homework at 11 o'clock at night is not always fun. But when you do that, if you come back and think about it, okay, when I get back, I have to start this homework, and I have to start it right away and get it done. If you stay focused on what you have to get done, you will accomplish it, and you won't fall out by the way. If you stay focused and say, I have to get this assignment done tonight, I have to start working on it tonight, that way, if I work on it tonight, tomorrow night, it'll be done before the due date. And you stay focused on your goals. You don't let the circumstances of work or anything distract you and cause you to fall out by the way. Point number two, failure is not final. If you look in Proverbs chapter number 24, verse number 16, Bible says, for a just man falleth seven times and rises up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Well, I'm thankful for that verse right there, because from that you can see failure is not final. You're going to fail. No matter what you do, how hard you try, you are going to fail. But it doesn't have to be final. Just because you mess up once doesn't mean it has to be final. Get back up. Go at it again. We just saw in a verse that a just man will rise up seven times. You are going to fall, but you have to get back up. You have to. You can't fall out by the way. Every little thing that comes and trips you up, you can't let it push you away from God's will for your life. You have to get back up and go. And then just the last point is finish what you start. You have to finish what you start. If you don't want to fall out by the way, you have to stay focused on your assignment. You have to get up and stay focused and do it. You can't let others distract you. You have to recognize that failure is not final, and you have to finish what you start. If you start something in college, there's a lot of different ministries that we can start. I think of the bus ministry, knocking the one area. We set a goal. We said, hey, I want to get through this apartment complex by program time. And program at college is just a heavy push for soul winning to get people in. And it's a point system. They have different teams for your buses to just as a promotion to get the kids involved. And we set this one goal. We wanted to get through this apartment complex. But what ended up happening was a couple people got sick, and a couple people were away the one weekend. And we had to stay focused and say, all right, I only have to stay out for a couple hours, but I'm going to stay out an extra hour to get this done. That way, when program time comes, we knocked a goal that we set. We had to finish what we start. You have to go all the way there and come all the way back. You can't just go and finish something and say, I'm done. It's like in classes at college, you finish one assignment. You can't just say, oh, well, I finished that assignment. I'm done for the night. You have probably 5, 6 other subjects that you have to get other assignments done in. And then remember, finally, that God calls you, not man. God calls you, not man. If you don't want to fall out by the way, people are going to criticize you. People are going to try to get you to fall out by the way. But remember, man doesn't call you. God calls you. And it doesn't matter what man says, because God has put you in a place for a reason, and he will keep you there. So just a real quick challenge this morning, but something that challenged me when Pastor Ballard had preached on it, and just some through studying out, is don't fall out by the way. There's way too many people, even people the first year at college last year, that are already gone. I can think of 3 different people that stopped going. 2 of them are still in church, but one of them isn't even in church after just a year of starting college. Yet I think of the other 30 freshmen that are still at college and are still following God's will for their life. So if you don't want to fall out by the way, stay focused on your assignment. Remember that failure is not final, and finish what you start.
Praise the Lord, that was very good. Thank you, Jake. Let's see if I can get run out of time by the time I figure. We're just going to read a couple verses where there's too many verses to read, actually. But in Genesis 5, I'm just going to look at, verse 5, it says about, you know, and all the days that Adam lived were 930 years. And he died. And then verse 8, and all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. And verse 11, and all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. And then verse 14 and 17 and 20. And the point I'm trying to get to is that all these men died. They lived, they begat sons and daughters, and they died. And then verse 22, it says, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And verse 24 says, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. See, you know, in the other verses, like verse 16, and Mahalalel, however you say that, lived after he begat Jared 830 years and begat sons and daughters. And what it always says is this person, you know, Adam, Seth, whatever, they lived after they begat so-and-so, and begat sons and daughters. But it says in verse 22, it changes just that one part, and it says Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. So I want to talk about walking with God. Why does it just change that? You know, if we were to say, you know, somebody here, they lived, they begat their son, and then they did construction for the rest of their life. You know, that's what stands out of their life. You see, Enoch, why it says he walked with God is because that's the point of what he did. After 65 years, he begat Methuselah, and he walked with God for the rest of the time. You know, not only did Enoch not die, but he lived more than any of us because he walked with God. The point of life is to walk with God. if we spent the amount of time that we call devotions, and I'm trying to use the right words because I don't want to be, I am not accomplished in this, I'm not apprehended. But if we would, the time that we call devotions is honestly pathetic. You know, we think, oh, it's spiritual to have 30 minutes in a day. You know, if you sit in your Bible in the morning for 30 minutes in the day, and you do that, you know, 6 out of 7 times a week, that is spiritual. But any other relationship, you know, children, spouses, even cousins or friends, any other relationship would die, would wither and die if you gave it that amount of time. If you gave it 30 minutes a day, maybe 6 out of 7 times a week. A lot of us, we give, I mean, personally, I'll just say personally, you know, to average out 10 minutes, you read a Bible, you read your Bible verse, you read your passage, you get something out of it, you know, but you forget about it. You walk the rest of your day, you did your reading, and you do it, what, maybe 4 out of the 7 days of the week. And at college, a big thing that God spoke to me about is why do we call that devotions? Why do I call that devotions? We forget what the word devotions means. You know, devotion is to be committed to something, to be dedicated to something. But we call that devotions. I call that devotions. And it just, the Lord's been dealing with me. I would rather walk with God throughout the day than just take a verse, read my reading, check it off, and forget about it the rest of the day and do what I want to do anyway. You know, the point of walking with God is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You know, and if you can turn there if you want, but Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, which I'll actually turn there so I get the words right. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. The point of walking with God is to be close to God. You know, to walk each step with God. To acknowledge him before, you know, sometimes I think, how cocky is it of me to give a tract, to go witness to somebody, to do anything in my own power without acknowledging God? You know, to reach out to God before we do something, that's walking with God. To spend the day and say, Lord, I need your help with whatever it is, even if it's simple. You know, Lord, I need your help with this. I need your help with this. I need your help with everything I do because I can't do it on my own. I'm bound to make mistakes. Why do we trust ourselves to do things, even if it's simple, why do we trust ourselves to do things that are important without walking with God? He shall direct our paths. Something interesting that I found here, Enoch lived 365 years. And if you minus the 65, if you just take this passage literally, he lived for 65 years. And then after that, he walked with God for the last 300, just to oversimplify it. For us, if we live a 70-year life, that means that we would have to start walking with God at age 12 and continue walking with God for the rest of our life if we were to match what the Bible says about Enoch. So for a lot of us, we've probably already missed it. Okay, so Enoch walked with God. He lived more than any of us. And the point I'm trying to get to is it's the most important thing. God is the most important relationship. There is no other relationship in our lives that is more important than our relationship with God. And we spend the least amount of time, usually, we spend the least amount of time with God than we do with any other person in our life. We give him this we shove him into a box. You know, we give him this little bit in the morning, and we go about our day. I sometimes wonder how bad would God feel, how bad would you feel if you were shoved into a box and not pulled out except for Sunday and Wednesday and, you know, a few minutes in the morning. God shouldn't be shoved in a box. He should have all the boxes, all of it, all of our life. We should give to him, and I'm running out of time. But just, I don't have any points or anything, but just what I'm trying to get to is walk with God. When you go about your day, acknowledge God. ask for his help, ask for his guidance with things, even simple things, witnessing, passing out tracts, working even, and he shall direct that path. That's all I really have. Thank you.
Ooh, good pungent challenges this morning, huh? From the Word of God. Appreciate those men sharing those things. Appreciate Gina's testimony to encourage us on some practical things and that's happening over in Zambia.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.